Special welcome to all of you, and a highlighted welcome to a number of you. We are delighted to have among us representatives of the Missionaries of Africa, and Iago Abeledo Madueño will be introducing them further in a few moments. And Iago himself, I want to introduce for those of you who probably have not met him. I've had the special privilege of spending time with Iago and getting to know him, and a few others of you from the seminary side of our morning have as well. But Iago is a student at the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding and also a member of the Missionaries of Africa. And he has the special honor of sharing with us the visit of his Father Superior, Father Richard, I have your name here for my pronunciation, Father Richard, Father Bauer, who will be speaking to us shortly. So it's a real pleasure to have all of you with us, including those of you who are part of the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, who are here experiencing strong connections with CJP, and those of you who are here from Eastern Mennonite Seminary and the wider Eastern Mennonite University. Welcome to all of you, and call to worship, Kevin, is welcome next.
I invite you to stand. We will pray together this call to worship. We praise you, dear God, for creating us in all our diversity, for the gift of our many cultures, languages, diverse expressions of belief, customs, traditions, and ethnicities. We thank you. We thank you for the many church traditions which have kept our community strong and active, even in places where they are a minority. Teach us to celebrate our different identities and traditions so as to forge bonds of friendship and fellowship, leading us to greater unity. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for reconciling us with God and for one another through your death and resurrection, and teaching us to respect the dignity and value of all human beings. We thank you for your inbreaking into our lives every day, calling on us to stand in solidarity with those whose dignity is broken by political, social, and economic structures. Teach us to celebrate the message of hope that in you we can overcome all that is evil in our world.
Lord Jesus Christ, hear our prayer for mercy and for the grace to follow you in life as we learn from you each day, even this day.
We praise you, Holy Spirit, for the gift of mutual interdependence and solidarity that has been our heritage as peoples and churches. Teach us to treasure the bonds of unity we enjoy as we beseech your continuing presence with us. Inspire us on our journey towards full visible unity among us and with all those people and movements that engage in the struggles for life.
Holy Spirit, hear our prayer for your presence and animate our lives in the power of love for the life of the world.
In this moment and always, in your holy name. A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, 6 through 13. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God.
I am happy to introduce you Father Richard Bauer. He is the Superior General of the Society of the Missioners of Africa, the society to which I belong. And he's from Ghana, and he has been missionary in Congo and Tanzania, and also he has been involved in formation of our candidates in Tanzania and France. And from the year 2004, he was elected Assistant Superior General of our society, and he was serving in the General Council in Rome. And during the last 3 years, he is serving as General Superior of the Missions of Africa. Then also he's a writer, and then he has written several books related to reflecting on the Sunday Gospel and second reading of Gospel for the small Christian communities in the African continent. Then in thousands of parishes and churches in Africa, they take the book of Richard as the guideline for reflecting the Sunday Gospel at the level of the small Christian communities. And you are very much welcome to share with us your wisdom.
So I'd like to say thank you very much to the authorities for having given me this opportunity, and thank you to Iago for having facilitated it. I did not expect it, but I welcomed it with joy. And thank you for honoring the occasion by coming so that we pray together and then listen to what the Word of God is telling us and how it challenges us, and especially how it invites us to reach out to others. And I chose this passage from Mark's Gospel, among others. There are other passages that are referred to in my text, for this simple reason that we have here an experience of people who, because of their relationship with Jesus, are invited to share in his mission. And that is what mission is about. We are invited to share in the mission. We do not own it. It is a mission that we receive from God. It is God's mission. And the other gospel writers, so Mark and Matthew, will draw their inspiration from how Mark presents this first sending out of the 12. And when we make a comparison, we'll see the way in which they resemble. And then we'll see where they differ and why they differ. And for example, if we now go into the Gospel of Luke, we'll see that Jesus did not limit himself to sending out the 12 apostles, but later on he sent 72 other people, including people who were not in this close circle of his disciples, in order to underline the message that the gospel is to be shared with all and it is to be brought to all by all. That is something that we find, the universal opening that is present in Luke's gospel, that is very important. And I say, why is it important that we underline this right from the beginning? I like the expression that God is missionary. God is missionary in the sense that in all eternity, God is reaching out. And the nature of God is precisely to reach out to humanity through his Son, to reach out to humanity through the Spirit, and to reach out in love in order to heal our brokenness and to make us whole and to make us capable of relating to each other. God reaches out in love. And we learn of that through Jesus Christ. And in Mark chapter 6, when we read the passage from Mark chapter 6, Jesus has already called his disciples. They have been with him, and that we read in Mark chapter 3. He called them to be with him, in order to learn from him what it means to reach out to others. And it is after they have been with him that they are able to be sent out. And for me, that means that we cannot be missionaries, we cannot reach out to others if we have not taken time to sit at the Master's feet and to learn from him, to learn from him what it means to reach out in love to others. And to be with Jesus, to be his disciples, that is the first stage of being a missionary. And being a missionary, being like God himself, reaching out in love. So that means that for me, the fundamental attitude in the mission is precisely to recognize that we are servants. We are not masters. We are servants reaching out in love and hoping that this reaching out in love will be welcomed by other people. And Mark stresses the simplicity in the mission. He says, do not go out with two tunics. Do not go out with reserve. Do not go out with powerful means, because it is not your means that are going to convert people, that are going to make people convinced about the importance of the mission, but reach out as you are, vulnerable people who want to share his love with others and who accept the hospitality, who accept to be welcomed by other people where they go. And it means that for us to accept to be servants, not masters of a truth, to accept to be vulnerable, and to offer support to each other. Mark says he sends them out two by two. And we know from the Jewish perspective, going out two by two is to make their witness credible, but it is also to support. And it is also so that you hear another opinion about it. If you hear only one voice, you might say, that is very good. But when there are several people who say the same thing, it already brings home a message. Like this morning here, if we had heard only from Yago about the goodness of the Center for Justice and Peace Building and of the University, Eastern Mennonite University, and of the seminary, if we had heard only his voice, we could have said maybe it's a biased opinion. But after we heard his voice, after we interacted with the people who are involved, our eyes opened and we began to appreciate, to say there is something there. Yeah. And you need the support of another, a brother, a sister, in order to be able to reach out to others. And a brother and a sister at by my side obliges me also to give an account, to be accountable for what I'm doing, to be accountable for the way I'm reaching out, to be accountable for what I say. Because if I'm alone, that is my vision, that is my position, and I do not know if I'm being fair or if I'm giving the whole picture. So that is, for me, the biblical rooting. We are called by God. We are sent in his name because we have witnessed what he does. The disciples witnessed what Jesus did. They were his companions. And having sat at his feet, having listened to him, having been nourished by his word, they were able now to be sent out to go and to spread the good news to other people. Now, this other part, I would like to say, over the years, different churches, different denominations have tried to understand what does it mean for us now as Christians when we reach out to others. How do we do it? What are the components? What are the essential elements that we say, this, we cannot lack this if we are reaching out to others? And I myself have been influenced very much by two SVDs, missionaries, a Society of the Divine Word missionaries. One is called Steve Bevans, and the other is Roger Schroeder. And they have written a bit, influenced not only by the Catholic tradition, but by the ecumenical perspective from their own congregation also, about how we should live out our vocation as missionary. And that ties in also very well with what the late Pope John Paul II said. He said, mission is really a complex reality. It is not so easy. There are so many elements that come into play when I say I'm a missionary, when I say I'm reaching out in Jesus' name. And they made a synthesis, Steve Bevans together with Eleanor Deutsch, they made a synthesis of points that they considered as the constituent elements of mission, six of them. And the first one, they say, is about witness and proclamation. Mission is about witnessing. Witnessing to a person, witnessing to a message, and witnessing to a lifestyle. Witnessing to a person, the person of Jesus. They go to be messengers of Jesus. Witnessing to his message. We heard in the gospel that they bring a message and they invite to repent. They invite to change their worldview, to change their system of values, and to convert, to come back to what is proper for them. And they witness also to his lifestyle, simplicity in lifestyle, not imposing, but proposing. It is an invitation which is done with boldness, but at the same time with humility, because we recognize our own weakness and we recognize that we ourselves, who are announcing this message, we stand in need of conversion. So that is the first thing he says about being a missionary, being somebody who is sent out, who recognizes I'm sent out, I'm not a master of the truth that I'm proclaiming. I am sent to proclaim and to witness to a person, to a message, and to a lifestyle with boldness and at the same time with humility, because I stand in need of this good news that I'm announcing to others. And he says also one component of the mission is certainly liturgy, prayer, and contemplation. Liturgy, prayer, and contemplation, because in the act of praying, I sort of decenter myself from my own interests, from my little world, in order to open my heart up to the dimensions of the world and to open myself up to other concerns, to say, God is really a God of love, and his love is not limited to me, to my family, to my nation, but it is for everybody. And my prayer, my contemplation, allows me to break my little shell in order to breathe in the dimensions of God. So prayer, liturgy, contemplation will open me to the needs of the entire world. He says that element cannot be missing in mission. And he says, in just as much as we dialogue with God, prayer allows us to dialogue with the world. And a third element, which is central also to being a missionary, is certainly the commitment to justice, peace, and integrity of creation. Commitment to justice, peace, and integrity of creation. We are aware of the injustices in the world, the brokenness. We are aware of situations where rights are not respected. And we say, when I say I bring out, I reach out in love, as God has been reaching out in love to humanity, I reach out in love, I bring a message of good news. And that good news, I once was struck by this expression, that good news is not good news till it is good news for the poor. The good news of Jesus is not good news till it is good news for the poor. And missionaries who have worked in areas where people are in need, they know that different churches across the board, different churches are attentive to the poor, and they appreciate the services that are offered, irrespective of religious denominations, irrespective of gender, irrespective of social conditions, to people who are most in need. And integrity of creation also, because we recognize that the way we live on this earth has consequences for today and for tomorrow. And it is good to remember the earth is lent to us. We are stewards. We are not masters. And we cannot continuously, endlessly exploit it for our own good today without thinking of the consequences it has for tomorrow. So raising the awareness about our action, about our need to be safe with Mother Earth, is also part and parcel of being a missionary. And the solidarity, certainly with the people that we could say are the marginalized, would help us to recognize where we need to be attentive. Because those who are poor, those who are marginalized, know the value of the land. For example, in areas where companies would intervene to grab the land, the phenomenon of land grabbing that is going on in some places, whole acres of villages that are being hired out or sold out, and where the consequences that people are displaced. Families that have to live from that land, they know the value of that land. They know what it means. They know that it is their livelihood that is at stake. And listening to their voice in terms of justice, peace, and integrity of creation is capital. There is a mission statement, a world mission statement, well, to the Council of Churches, new mission statement that is coming up. It is approved. It was approved in September, but it is going to be made public in Busan, in South Korea, in November 2013. And one of the points that they speak about there is certainly what they call mission from and to the margins. Mission from and to the margins. In order to say the people that we might consider as being marginalized because of they don't have access to the zones of influence, they really have something to say to us that can challenge us in terms of our attitude and our relationship to the good news. So that is a third element. The fourth element is what we would call interreligious dialogue. And this, later on today, I'll have a chance to talk a bit more about that. So I'll just say that that is certainly a phenomenon that we have to take on board in our being missionary. We cannot continue to say our religion or our denomination is the only one. God reveals himself in ways that we do not know, and we have to respect that. I like the expression of an African cardinal who said, the missionaries did not bring God to Africa. They brought Jesus to Africa. In order to say that the people of Africa already had a certain religious feeling, a religious spirit, connection with God, expressed in different ways. But what perhaps was missing was how this God has revealed himself in a person and in the person of Jesus. So the missionaries brought that richness, that dimension to us to complete this revelation and this religious experience. And interreligious dialogue is something that we live in different ways. I'll give more about that this afternoon, but it is certainly important. And a final element in being missionary today is certainly to work for reconciliation. There is an urgent need for reconciliation because of the brokenness in our world, because of conflict in many places. And reconciliation is lived at three levels. Reconciliation from the Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, we can see that chapter 5, verses 18, 19, 20. He says, we are being reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, who makes of us ambassadors of reconciliation. So reconciliation at the vertical level with God, at the horizontal level with each other, and at the circular level, with the universe, with Mother Earth, and the importance to take care of this. So those are summarized what these two missiologists consider as six components of mission. According to the context in which you are, one or the other might take precedence. One or the other might be more important, but it is what he says are important elements that we cannot neglect if we want to reach out in a respectful way to people where God has sent us to. And he sums it up by saying that is what we will call a prophetic dialogue. A prophetic dialogue in the sense that we are prophets, like prophets of the old, we have a message to announce, but at the same time, in the process of announcing the message, we recognize that there are counter values, counter gospel values, that have to be denounced, and we commit ourselves to improving this, to creating a new world, to bringing about peace. Yeah. So we do that, but in a manner of dialogue that means respectful of the culture, respectful of the people in their situation, and ready, being ready to learn from them, being ready to be influenced by what I see in the place that I go to. I already spoke about the boldness and humility. And a prophetic dialogue, precisely, lived in a spirit of humility, enriches me as a missionary and helps me to reach out in a meaningful way to others. So these things, we might say, they are not new. They have been lived by missionaries in different continents over the years. But what is perhaps new for us today is to be able to name them and to be able to use them as criteria for our reflection, to say, in how far are we helping that process to happen? How far are we helping it? How far do we let justice and peace be part of our commitment as missionaries? How far do we let reconciliation be part of our How far is prayer contemplation part of it? How far is witness to Jesus, to his lifestyle, to his message part of it? And that is now happening in a way that is very radical, not so radical maybe, but we might say, but in the sense that the movement is no more north to south or north to east, but the movement is now multidirectional. Yeah, multidirectional, and the global south and the global east are contributing to the missionary movement today. And that is challenging for us because it obliges me to open up and to say there is not one image of church, of being church, that is valid for all over, for the whole world and for all times, but there are different experiences of what it means to be church, and the local church has something to offer to the universal church. So that means I cannot export my experience of church wholesale. I have to be able to be ready to learn and to take the advantage, the image again of a garden, to say, I go to my neighbor's garden, I look in the garden, I see some plants that are familiar, other plants are not familiar, and I say, these plants that are not familiar, instead of me just to uproot them straight away, I ask my neighbor, what are they about? So then I might get to appreciate them, I might say they might be medicinal for one thing or the other. Whereas formerly, I would have gone to his garden and said, this plant, I don't like it, it doesn't correspond to what I know, I uproot it. That is not my experience of church, so I uproot it. And then I bring my experience of church there. Say, no. The global south, the global east are helping us to understand that being church is bigger than being what I have lived. So that is what I say, there is a change that is happening. We are at it together, and I think with the help of the Spirit, we'll be able to move forward. So, my brothers and sisters, I think it is interesting to be a missionary. It is interesting to be a disciple of Jesus, and it is interesting to be an apostle, to be somebody who accepts to be sent out, because we are participating in something that is bigger than us, something that does not belong to us, something we've benefited from ourselves, and like beggars who say to each other, I think there is water there is food there, let us go together, and let us be nourished by it. That's what we do want to do together.
Father Richard, thank you for those wonderful words of wisdom and sharing. I've been asked to offer a few words of response, and as you and I discussed, I didn't know what you were going to say, so I have not prepared my response, but rather have simply been trying to listen carefully and to take a few notes of points that you emphasized that caught my attention, to share them back to you and to all of us and offer a few comments on them. And I heard you begin to stress that God is a missionary in all eternity, reaching out in love to heal our brokenness through Christ, and that we as missionaries in turn learn from Jesus what it means to reach out to others, and in doing that, we need a brother or sister by our sides. And then as we proceed in our mission work, we testify to Jesus boldly, but in a spirit of humility and vulnerability, in awareness that Jesus' news isn't good until it's good news to the poor, and in awareness that God is revealed beyond any of our claims to know all of God. Those are just a few of the many rich perspectives that I picked up, and I was struck in pondering your emphases that those of us who were privileged to have breakfast with you who are in the missionaries of Africa had opportunity to converse about some of your experiences of our university in the short time you've been here, and one of you mentioned going to our website and trying to get a sense of what is this EMU place, and receiving the impression that this EMU place is a missionary kind of place, committed to reaching out for peace, for justice, and in a spirit of missionary outreach that is very committed to peace building in the name of Christ. So as I ponder that impression, which I think is an accurate one, and then in turn am thinking about the ways that we are committed here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary and in the Center for Justice and Peace Building and throughout the university to work at Mission Outreach, I am struck that there is a strong sense of kinship between the vision that you presented to us and the vision we seek to live by. And I don't remember your exact final words, but the image you conveyed was, we are seeking this food together, this nurture together. And that sense of together going forth in mission is very strongly radiated by your sharing here among us. Thank you in a special way for that. And why don't we continue the response by a few words of prayer on your behalf and our behalf. Dear God, we thank you for this visit of the missionaries of Africa. We thank you for the twists and turns of our journeys and of your Spirit's guidance that have brought us across the many thousands of miles and years to worship and learn from each other together. We ask that we will each experience through this time of learning from each other your wisdom radiating in our midst and your blessings heaped upon us. In the name of the Jesus we jointly follow and learn from, we do pray. Amen.
We ask God in his mercy to bless us. Almighty Father, we thank you for your love that reaches out to us in ways that we do not know, that we do not master, but that strengthens us and sends us forth. We thank you for this morning, for the time we spent together, for your word that you've spoken to us. We ask you to bless us, bless our families, bless our different missions. Whatever we do, may we do it for your greater glory. Give us your strength. Enlighten us with your Spirit, so that now and forever we might be your companions, instruments of your love, instruments of your peace, and of your reconciliation in our world. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord.